You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. That's... it's just an awful feeling.
I get bored. I get bored from time to time. Matter of fact, I've had a problem with boredom most of my life. So yeah, it's a natural human event. Maestro Gary Miller, do you ever get bored?
Never.
Oh, come on. You stinking liar. Okay, you know better than that.
Maybe once in a while.
Come on. Tell me the truth. Now, what bores you? And don't say your job. That would be a bad thing. What bores
my
you?
My job never bores me.
There you go. Good answer.
There's always something going on. What bores me?
Yeah, what bores you?
Oh...
apparently this conversation is boring. Yeah, I mean, you're
no,
just not
I'm
even,
just,
in,
I,
even
I
engaged
just haven't
here.
Had a chance to really think about what bores me. I don't know.
Do you ever get bored?
I said I rarely ever get bored.
Okay, that's because you're always working. And you said you said your job doesn't bore you.
That's right.
So I would say what bores you at home, but that probably wouldn't be very good to talk about either. So
I
should just let you off the hook and
let me
make,
off the hook.
Off
I think
hook,
I'm doing good
because you could either get in trouble with your bride, or you get in trouble with your boss. And so yeah,
go
you know,
find some bored people.
Yeah, that's not going to be hard to do. I can just go to my house. And I can find bored children all the time. All right, welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm Robbie Romeiser, your host. And, of course, at Career Callings, our purpose is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. You can join us today on the program by text, phone, or email. Phone number is 864-381-7649, 381-7649. Area code 864 or Robbie at careercallings.net. That's Robbie at careercallings.net. Actually, boredom is a good thing. It's interesting. I've been running across this theme lately in some of my reading that boredom is a very good thing. It's got a very good purpose. And actually, it's got, in my mind, its main purpose is it's a key to unlocking God's purpose in your life. Now, where in the world did Robo come up with that? Well, this is not something I just kind of pulled out of thin air. Ran across an article not long ago called The Science Behind How Boredom Benefits Creative Thought. And the author of that article, Vivian Jang, I believe is how you pronounce her name, and she cited several different research studies. And in those research studies, she basically talked about how they all came to the same conclusion, that if you are bored, it makes you more creative. Now, to cite that, to show that, she cited several studies, one of which comes to mind, where they had taken a bunch of folks and they had given one group of folks a very, very boring task to do. And that was basically write names and phone numbers out of a phone book. And I forget exactly how long they had to do that, but they had to do it for some inordinate amount of time. And then they had the other group that did not have to do that very boring task. They gave them something a little bit more energizing to do. And then at the end of that time frame of those activities, they then asked these groups to be creative in a certain way. And one example of that would be to think of a vehicle. You know, think of some sort of transportation. And the folks that had done the non-boring activities, they came up with your standard answers, car, truck, things of that nature. Folks that had been bored to tears with the phone book exercise came up with things like camels and elephants and, of course, cars and trucks as well. But they were a little bit more creative. And that was pretty consistent no matter what the study was talking about or how the study, I should say, was conducted. They, whatever it was, when you were doing boring stuff, you ended up being more creative at the tail end of the boring stuff. Now, one of the researchers, a guy named Andreas, I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce the last name. His last name starts with an E, so I'm going to call him Andreas E. because I don't want to really obliterate this name on air. He works for the University of Louisville. And in his article about this subject, he wrote this, and this is what really caught my eye. This is what really made me say a minute ago that it's really a key. Boredom is a key for finding God's purpose in your life. And this is what he said. Now, he didn't say this. This is what he didn't say. It was God's purpose in your life that boredom helps you find. It's me saying that, but this is what triggered that thought. Quote, boredom is the regulatory state that keeps one in line with one's projects. In the absence of boredom, one would remain trapped in unfulfilling situations and miss out on many emotionally, cognitively, and socially rewarding experiences. Boredom is both a warning that we are not doing what we want to be doing and a push that motivates us to switch goals and projects. End quote. When I read that, the light bulb went off. That's what God uses a lot of times in our lives as Christians to tell us, you're not doing what I told you I wanted you to do. And just to give you an example of how wonderfully creative somebody could become when they're bored out of their gourd, I want you to listen to this fantastic song called The Boredom Song.
My baby sister put a pancake in the VCR. The battery is worn out on my remote control car. And it's been raining for 5 days straight. It just continues to pour. And my favorite cartoon don't come on till four. I'm bored, I gotta find something to do. I'm bored, I'm like a cow with no moo. Don't wanna stare at the wall and twiddle my thumbs. So I'll go out the dog and bang on my drum. I'm like a big blue whale on the seashore. I'm a little bit bored. Billy went to Six Flags and Tommy's out of town. And PJ has the measles and he's feeling down. And my computer won't work. My dog chewed through the cord. I don't want to complain, but I'm telling you, Lord, I'm a little bit bored. I gotta find something to do. I'm bored. I'm like gum with no chew. Don't want to stare at the wall and twiddle my thumbs. So I'll go out the dog or bang on my drum. I'm like a big blue whale on the seashore. And I'm telling you, I'm a little bit bored. I'm bored out of my gourd, man. Oh, man, I gotta think of something to do here. I know what I can do. Oh, yeah. I'll write a letter to my grandma. Oh, she would love that, man. Oh, wow. Oh, you know what else I could do? I could mow the lawn. Oh, my dad would love that. If I did that for him, he would. But I like this song. This song is good. Maybe I'll listen to this song for a little bit. Dance a little bit. Yeah. I'm gonna dance just a little around. Boogie, oogie, boogie, boogie, woogie. Yeah. Feeling good. Oh, this is like my favorite song. I just love to... Oh, it's over?
Oh, yeah. One thing's for certain. That guy was bored. He was bored. He needed something to do, and he found us something. But it was creative. It was pretty awesome. Now, next to the word bored in the dictionary is a picture of my family. All right? And so, unfortunately, I haven't figured out how to transmit that boredom into that much creativity yet. But someday I'm going to succeed. I'm not sure when. But I will. This idea, you know, this James report about boredom is interesting, and it provokes this question, did provoke this question in my mind. Are you constantly bored in your work? And if you are, as I said before the song, I think that's a sign from God that you're not doing what he wants you to do. As Christians, we need to remember that the purpose of work is to glorify God. The purpose of work is to serve others, and the purpose of work is to provide an enjoyable pastime for us while we accomplish purposes 1 and 2. I mean, that's why God created us, and there's biblical principles behind each one of those statements. If we engage in the types of work for which we're designed, we'll have that fulfillment that God wants us to have. We'll have that meaning. We'll have that purpose, and we won't be bored. Obviously, Mr. Maestro Miller here is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing because he's never bored at work. All right, so if we don't engage in the types of work, however, that God wanted us to engage in, then we will suffer constant boredom until we wake up and pursue the calling that God has called for us. It's just the way it works. And I've experienced that in my own life at times. Chances are you have experienced that in your life at times, and you've wondered why you're bored. Well, that's one of the reasons why, is because you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. Now, don't get me wrong. Even when we engage in the work God intended us to do, there will be days of struggle, there'll be days of persecution, there'll be days of difficulty, and yes, there will be times of boredom. But if the boredom will, you know, in that case, the boredom you experience, the boredom I experience, will be occasional. It won't be constant. That's the signal. If you can't get motivated, if you're always bored at work, you can't get the motor running, you don't engage, it doesn't energize you, it won't permeate it doesn't give you energy, then it's constant boredom, and it will permeate your day. And despite the occasional attack of boredom, though, we will find joy, meaning, and purpose in the knowledge that we've redeemed the time God has given us by spending it the way He intended for us to spend it. Now, if your day is constantly filled with, you know, boredom, thoughts and attitudes and emotions of deep, deep boredom, then you need to ask yourself the question, why are you even doing what you're doing? Are you there? Did you choose that work because you were doing it for the money? Did you choose that work because you had a parent or a peer or a friend say, oh, I think you'll be good at that. Why don't you try that? Are you doing it because you see it as a mission from God? And if you're bored out of your mind, what I'm trying to say is chances are you're not doing it because you see it as a mission from God. If it's energizing to you and enthralls you, then it probably is something you see as a mission. So if you're one of those bored folks, bored out of your mind, workers looking now maybe for, or at least considering now that maybe you're not doing what God created you to do, it's time to discover your mission and to start engaging in it. And of course, as we've said before, that's what we do at Career Callings, is to help you try to discern God's will for your life, discern God's vocational calling for your life, and enable you not only to understand that, but to take the steps necessary to get from the point of concept to reality, to go from a understanding of what God would have you do with your life to actually finding work and a job that would enable you to fulfill that calling in your life. All right, when we get back from the break in just a few minutes, we will talk a little bit more about this topic, how to find and use your career gift, and how to go about seeking the work God would have you to do. See you on the other side of the break. Career Callings, Robbie Romeiser. I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures. There's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
Michael is an adoptee himself. Gina was a birth mother at age 20. Together, the Smiths have adopted children. And through all of these experiences, they are uniquely qualified to share the love of Christ with all parties involved in the adoption process through Hope Embraced Adoption Agency. Hopebound Ministries has partnered with the Smiths to make adoption services available to families who otherwise would not be able to afford adoption services. To donate to or to apply for financial help regarding the Smiths' adoption services, please visit hopebound.org. That's hopebound.org.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
This is Janet Mefford. Join me weekdays from 3 to 5 p.m. on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart-connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back. Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Join us with your calls, questions, comments, 864-381-7649, 864-381-7649, or email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. All right, let's talk about this idea about how to find and use your career gift. Now, as I've mentioned before, you know, on the program, I'm a certified consultant with Crown Ministries, and I do have been trained, rather, to administer the career direct assessment that Crown came up with back in the late 1980s under the direction of the late Larry Burkett. And it's a very involved self-analysis tool to help you understand God's calling in your life and the gifts he's given you. But if I were just to give you one question to consider right now to kind of really get your mind thinking, what is my gift that God has given to me? And how in the world what in the world am I supposed to be doing for him? Then ask yourself this question: What is the thing that you do that you're absolutely best at with the least amount of effort? That's a great question to kind of give you a hint at what your gift is. Something you do extremely well with the least amount of effort. And Maestro, I'm going to bring you back in here because I like putting you on the spot. It's just fun to do so. What do you think your gift is with that question? What is the absolute best thing you do with the least amount of effort?
The least amount of effort. Push buttons. That's it.
I must confess, you do that extremely well.
I've been training at that for a while.
I know of no better, as a matter of fact. Certainly not witnessed any better.
There you go.
Very good. Well, that's not what I expected to hear, but that's a good one. That's a good one. Well, and I'm sure you listening to the program today, you got an answer to that question as well. And I didn't come up with that, by the way. That came from Steve Harvey, is the author of a book called Act Like a Success, and he's also the same Steve Harvey that is host of Family Feud talk show. So he was speaking to a group of college kids one time at Strayer University and said, hey, that's your gift, what you do absolutely best with the least amount of effort. And then he went on to say, maybe it's making people laugh like he does. Maybe it's your gift of problem solving. Maybe it's being able to listen to people and hear what they're really saying. Maybe it's your listening skills. Maybe your listening skills could improve, but you're a fantastic speaker. Maybe that's what you're good at. Maybe you can discern or take complex information and make it simple and understandable for other people. All different kinds of gifts out there. Whatever it is that you do well, naturally, with the least amount of effort, God gave that to you. And the best type of work you can be involved in is in a type of work that utilizes that gift to its maximum potential. And there's any number of jobs that could do that. I don't want to be so narrow or to put people in a box to say that you need to be doing this specific job. But certainly there are certain types of work, certain genres of work that can utilize your gift and others that won't. And the ones that won't are the ones that cause that boredom we talked about in the first segment, because you can't use what you're naturally good at. What you are using is things you're not naturally good at, which requires a lot more effort. It's a lot more taxing and also a lot more boring. So really, your gift is not your current job. Your gift is something that you use in a job. And you might be able to use that gift as a lawyer or as a teacher, as a retail consultant. That gift is transferable across any number of industries. So don't think that just because you've been in a certain type of work for some time that you can't transition into some other type of field. That gift will allow you to excel in a new field. You'll have to learn the lingo. You have to learn the techniques and things of that nature, no doubt. But you'll be able to make that transition with some effort on your part. So that's how to find and use your career gift for God's glory in your life. Now, the entire process, if I were to give you the entire process of finding God's career calling in your life, from start to finish, in a nutshell, this is it. First of all, you got to discover what God has designed you to do, what kinds of work, what genre of work God's designed you to do. Number two, you would need to research jobs that fit that gift and design and narrow the field of prospective jobs that you would need to train for. Then you would need to train or prepare for those jobs, and that, of course, includes choosing what kind of school can train you, how to pay for that school, and so on. And then once you get the training, you'd have to compete for the job that you want, and that includes applications, resumes, social media, presence, and how to interview, how to follow up on the interview, all kinds of stuff. So I wanted to give you that quick bird's eye view because it's a lot of stuff. It's not easy. It takes time, and it requires the ability to multitask. Now, one thing I have learned is that God did not create men to be able to multitask. I don't care if you're a man and you think you can. You're a liar if you do think you can. You're lying to yourself, and you're lying to everybody else around you. We are one thing at a time kind of guys. God made women able to multitask, not men. And if you don't believe me, listen to what Tim Hawkins has to say.
I've been married for 19 years now. Isn't that awesome? Oh, I got the better end of that deal right there. Seriously, she doesn't need me at all. She ever leaves me, I'm going with her, pretty much. You husbands know what I'm talking about. We just walk around the house. Why are we here? I feel like a catcher in T-ball walking around the house. I just can't keep up with her mentally. She's so much smarter than I am. It's not fair, ladies. God has given you brains. You do like 8 or 9 things at once. You multitask. And men, we just can't keep up. Men are like, honey, can you watch the kids for an hour? I'm trying to make toast. They can't figure it out. Just a lot going on right now, please. I don't know which number I want. Something's going to be popping up. I need to focus here. Just take them somewhere. I need some me time right now, please. Get my yoga pants. Just get my yoga pants. I need to be centered. And never send a woman for an oil change. They can't take the pressure. Jiffy Lube freaks them out, scares them to death. Turn a $30 oil change to a $600 overhaul. I get the bill. Honey, what is this? The guy said we were totally out of blinker fluid. Oh my gosh. You mean I've been driving around this city with no blinker fluid for how long? Do you never check the blinker fluid? Do you want me to die? Is that your plan?
Okay, the Jiffy Lube clip had nothing to do with multitasking, but I just couldn't bring myself not to have that played. You know what I'm saying? The blinker fluid thing is just too cool. But the multitasking, that is that's so true. I mean, my wife is able to do all kinds of stuff. She keeps all kinds of plates spinning at the same time, but I got to do one thing at a time. And I think that's really where a lot of people are. I mean, certainly men and women, all joking aside, the idea behind doing multiple things at one time oftentimes means we don't do anything well. And so just a few days ago, I ran across a time management technique I'd never seen before. It's just jumped out at me. And I thought, man, this is the perfect answer to the need to multitask and juggle all the things we had to juggle. It's called the 10-minute rule. And it I ran across it in an article by a lady named Michelle Bryant. She wrote this article called The 10-Minute Rule. It seems crazy, but it will revolutionize your productivity. And really, to summarize what she was saying in there is this. She said, look, I set myself a deadline of 10 minutes for every task I do. Now, granted, there are some larger tasks that don't or can't be completed in 10 minutes. But every project, no matter how big or small, she said, can be broken down into 10-minute segments. And so if you have a larger project, you really need to break that down into 10-minute segments. And then when you're ready to go, when you're ready to take on that next task, at the very least, look at the clock and give yourself a mental 10 minutes to get it done. And if it went up on that, better than that, put the timer on your cell phone. You know, most people have smartphones these days, and if you don't have even if you have a dumb phone, you know, you probably have some sort of timer on there, some sort of stopwatch. Set the timer for 10 minutes so that you're battling against the clock. You have this deadline you're trying to navigate. And her thinking was, her statement was, when you do that, it really forces you to focus on what you're doing and to keep energetic about trying to beat the clock. And in the few days that I've been using this, and I haven't used it as consistently as I should, but when I remember to use it, it really does have that effect. I find myself able to focus on that task for at least 10 minutes. I'm also able to push aside distractions. Like, you know how we get in the middle of something and a phone call comes in or an email comes in and we get distracted and we get off focus from that task. Well, yeah, it's not so hard to say to that email coming in or to that phone call coming in, you know what, that can wait for 10 minutes. I almost stay focused on what I'm focused on for 10 minutes, and I'll get to that when I'm done with this task. Now, obviously, if it's an emergency call or something like that, then you stop what you're doing. But you know what? You don't have to take every call that comes through. It can go to voicemail. They can wait for 10 minutes. So can the email. It can wait a whole lot longer than 10 minutes if it's an email. But you get the point, is you can put it off and stay focused. And an example of how effective this was for her, for Michelle Bryant, she was working on a project, and at 4 o'clock on a Thursday afternoon, on the following Friday, they were supposed to be, her team was supposed to be presenting a PowerPoint presentation to a client. At 4 o'clock the night before, the client calls in and says, we need to make some serious changes to what you guys are doing tomorrow. So at that point, they had to redo the entire PowerPoint presentation the night before. And it had a lot of slides involved, and there were 4 people on the team. So what they decided to do is Michelle and one of her coworkers would work together on half of the PowerPoint slides. The other 2 team members would work together on the other half of the PowerPoint slides. And what Michelle and her team member decided to do was this. They decided to divide up how many slides there were and time it, because they wanted to be done by 6 o'clock at night. It was 4 o'clock, and it turned out, just by happenstance, that if they spent about 10 minutes on each slide, they'd get it done by 6. So they divvied it up, spent 10 minutes on each slide, and guess what? With that focused attention, with that deadline on each slide, they got it done by 6. The other team that did not use the 10-minute deadline got done at 9 o'clock that night. And I think that, in and of itself, shows the power of this time management tool. What does that have to do with your career search, doing what God would have you to do? I just gave you a few minutes ago a very quick, down and dirty process of finding God's work for your life, discovering it all the way down to getting it. That's a lot to do, a lot of tasks, and you're not going to be able to do it if you try to bite it off in one big chunk. There's that old saying, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Take one 10-minute task at a time, and before you get through it all, you'll have it all done. Thanks for joining us today. Of course, you can get a free copy of today's podcast and links to these articles on careercallings.net/radio. Invite you to join us at the website there. Have a blessed day.